Dailies Today.
Dailies Today.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome back to Dailies Today after Sports Drive. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
We're live on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, so you can watch on those two platforms. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Let's begin. Happy New Month to you.
You know, I don't.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to
look
for your
You just want to needle me. You just want to needle me.
Okay, so it's December. No, it's 11 months gone.
No, it's becoming ridiculous. There's Happy New Week. Happy people keep greeting you, sending you prayer in the morning, and so on and so forth. I'm just counting out of all these things. Let me just leave, I beg. Okay, Happy New Month.
Now we're talking.
But I'll pay you back. I pay you back. I tell you.
I taunt you.
By the way, I'd like you to say a prayer for my friend who's going to be buried today. Yodogun. Yes, he died at the age of 67.
Oh.
And he's going to be buried this morning.
So rest in peace. So rest in peace.
Yeah.
Let's begin with this one here. And this story is in virtually all the papers. Wow. Like all the papers. The Punch has it this way, though. Aisha Buhari, Twitter critic, remanded in prison.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to add the appellation of prophet to my name. What I predicted is exactly where we are now. I mean, you need to see about four papers. Just listen to this review. It will take a bit of time, but I plead patience, okay? Because it's the main story in all the papers. There's a story in The Punch, there's a story in The Vanguard, and hey, there's a very strong critical analysis, again, in The Trust. Now, why I keep talking about The Trust is that The Trust represents Northern interest and thinking.
True.
So, at times like this, whatever is being said in that paper, it's wider than what The Trust specifically is to, you know, what the new Nigerian whatever was back in the day to represent Northern interests. Let's start with The Punch. The Punch says that it reports that the 500 level student of the Federal University, Aminu Mohammed, accused of criticizing the wife of the president, has been remanded. He's been remanded in custodial center, and that the 24-year-old was remanded after his arraignment yesterday at the Federal High Court. Now, he was charged for that's after he had been detained for so long. And the charge reads that you, Aminu Adamu of Anguwa, Sarakuna, Bauchi State, sometime between May and June 2022, can you imagine? It was May 2022, this is December. Had this woman ignored this, because you get a lot of this every time, it would be no issue. Nobody would even have seen it. But this is where we are, within the jurisdiction of this court, did intentionally opened a Twitter handle with the name Aminulahi Catalyst and screenshot the image of Aisha Buhari and wrote on it in Hausa language, Su Mama Anchi Kudi Talakawa Ankochi. Well, the newspaper translates it in English to mean Mama has embezzled monies meant for the poor to satisfaction and posted same on your above Twitter handle and so on and so forth. Now, the BBC Hausa service reported that Aminu's lawyer, CK Agu, said since November 25, he had demanded bail for the student without any result. Since November, it's gentleman 25. And the lawyer said that even during yesterday's court sitting, we told the judge that we requested his release from prison on bail, but they did not respond whether they will release him or not. You see, what you usually have here is most of our laws and policies and whatever are usually geared towards persons. Everybody wants to be careful. Everybody wants to be seen to be loyal. So there'll be a whole lot of overzealousness. And this thing could have been handled simply. Okay? And so that's where the story is. But the court case goes on. But now we get to some of the editorials that we have that are very, very angry editorials. This one says, the Vanguard says, Aisha Buhari, an avoidable scandal. And it says that the tweet can embarrass anybody, but West Council dictates that such remarks be ignored. that such remarks be ignored. Two reasons call for this. Number one is that getting the culprit arrested, beaten and detained. Excuse me, one second. I'm so sorry, I had a cold, so I had to clear my nose. I'm sorry about that. And says the tweet can embarrass anybody, but White Council dictates that such remarks be ignored. Two reasons call for this. Number one is that getting the culprit arrested, beaten and detained will surely turn the people against her. Most people will join the troll as they have done and it will morph into a national and international scandal, as it promises to, if the Nance make good his threat of Mark's action. The Vanguard says that they condemn the act of arresting, brutalizing and detaining Aminu Mohammed and call for his immediate release to enable him to sit for his final exams. Okay, and they call it is an uncalled for executive excess. Since Mohammed is an adult, Aisha can pursue legal redress though this might sink her deeper in the mud in terms of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the another article here... Another article here is the Punch, okay? And the Punch in their back page. This is Abimbola Adelakun. This is one writer you must try to read every Thursday. Let me run the commercial for a beautiful analysis, as usual. And says the headline is that now everyone calls Mrs. Buhari fat. Okay, and this is how she opens it. It says at first the story of First Lady ordering the arrest and detention of a young man who had made fun of her physical appearance seemed improbable. I insisted to the person who shared the story with me that there had to be more to the account. And she says, there was no way Mrs. Buhari would be so small-minded and would pay attention to a random guy on Twitter that had snidely remarked that she had grown fat feeding on the masses' money, and so on and so forth. I don't want to waste so much time, but her opinion, of course, is that this is excessive and so on and so forth. She even says there's one paragraph here, but I don't want to read it out. Maybe Sheriff, you don't like what I did, he can read this. But it shows a very angry Abimbola Adelakun. She refers to the First Lady directly. So if you want to know the paragraph I'm talking about, go find the paper. It's on the back page. But it starts, if you're looking for a paragraph, it starts with, yes, you are the First Lady, but that young man had every right to say what he said. And she also says there's no law whatever that compels him to speak to you or about you in ways that you might consider respectful. It's the following sentence that I will skip. I might just tweet that following sentence though.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I might tweet it. I don't want to use it on the radio. Now there's another one here. Another angry person, and this is Daily Trust. And it's the back page again of the Daily Trust. That shows you emphasis. I told you yesterday, the most important pages in a newspaper, front, back, pages 3 and 5. Now, this is a full page virtually, and it's a column called Line of Sight with Abubakar Adam Ibrahim. And he labels it, he titles it Aisha Buhari and Her Chamber of Torture. And look at the analogy that Abubakar gives. Beautiful analogy. Listen carefully. First paragraph says, there was something brilliantly shocking about the opening sequence of Kemi Adetiba's 2018 Netflix movie, King of Boys. Now, for those who watch King of Boys, you remember how, not King of Boys 2, the first one, how the scene opens. It opens at a flamboyant party with the gorgeously dressed Eniola Salami, delightfully played by Shola Shobuale, before she was misdirected and reduced to a screaming wreck, who goes from greeting the governor of the state in the midst of dozens of fancifully dressed guests to a back room where she smashes the head of a captain enemy with a hammer. Oh my God. Oh my God. And she says here again, to be honest, it all sounds too ridiculous to be true, but apparently it is. Mr. Mohammed has been missing for several days. His family, speaking through his uncle, has made a public plea to Mrs. Buhari. I think this article was written before he was finally taken to court yesterday. And it says here, and this is highlighted, it says the tyranny of arresting a student and beating him up should not be condoned. It is not only criminal, but patently abusive of the legal system and the collective outrage of Nigerians who have been calling for his release. Just as his secret arraignment without his lawyers or his family present only demonstrates a willful desire to continuously abuse the system in pursuit of a vendetta. And then this is highlighted. We all know all sorts of shady things have gone down in the villa, but this one has to be one of the lowest ebbs Moses Buhari has dragged the villa to, from a presidential villa to a torture chamber of the weak and the helpless. Wow. Okay, so like I predicted, now the issue has come bigger. Any minute from now, it will be out of control of the First Lady herself. What is most surprising is no statement at all from the presidency. None at all.
Indeed. Let me quickly go and take this particular story here. Not exactly a story, though, but it's an advertorial in the Vanguard newspaper. It's full-page advertorial, management and staff office of the deputy governor. Mm-hmm. And they have the picture of the deputy governor of Edo State, Right Honorable Comrade Philip Shaibo, His Excellency. And they said, our boss is plus one today.
Okay, so the deputy governor is, how old is he now? Well, he's plus one. You know, in Nigeria, sometimes people think it's disrespectful for you to write about people's direct age and so on and so forth. But that's not the story. And it's also not the story that the management and staff of the office of the deputy governor put a full page ad there, though we don't know whether it's the office that paid for it or the staff that paid for it. That's not the story. The story here for me this morning is the appellation, how this man is addressed. Now, he's addressed as His Excellency in the first instance, then Right Honorable Comrade. I mean, come on. We must have some protocol about how to. Some of these things are becoming completely ridiculous. You call somebody an Excellency, and then you call him Right Honorable, and then you call him Comrade. These things are completely getting out of hand. It's just like you have people say the executive. There's nothing like executive governor. We like all these titles. Right Honorable itself is not the right appellation in the kind of democracy that we run. It's used in the parliamentary system. I think it was Amechi that started this habit of Right Honorable. We like titles to a point sometimes of being completely ridiculous. And I don't know why. I don't know if the man calls himself that way, but I think we need to have a protocol, a tidy protocol about how people should be addressed. I think once you have, it is just common sense that once you leave a position and you have another position, if any appellation is going to be added to your whatever it is, then it takes away the other one. You can't be Excellency and then be Right Honorable and then be Comrade. because is this title thing is getting, you have Chief Allergy Doctor, this, come on. Even professionals now, you have architects this, quantity surveyor that, and this and that. Maybe I should.
You know these people like these things.
They love it.
Even the individuals.
They
themselves.
Love it, but.
If you miss out anything, they will still come back and grab the mic and say, hey, so you missed out one part. I am also Oluo.
You know, it's so funny that even if you hear government officials speaking, I mean, in a discussion, you invite them to the studio, and then they go, every time they go, oh, His Excellency, Governor Jimmy Disu, the OFR, GCR, they could say it 10 times in one sentence.
Yeah.
We should leave these things. We are so title conscious, so much protocol that we do, and very little.
You dare not miss out one title. Eh?
Their
aides will be telling you that. You remain true.
I insist on my own protocol. Because, you see, it takes away from the seriousness of the issue. We are so ceremonial in the things
we
do. Ceremonial, and we waste so much time and resources. I hope this is not government money, though.
I think they can afford it. Look at all of them.
Of course, they can. Chap. They can take 10 self. not from the salary, though.
I don't know.
Not likely from the salary. So I just wanted to use this to call our attention to that there is a need, because again, you find out that every governor now, every political appointee, demands to be addressed in a particular way. We had one who called himself comrade. We had one who called himself chief servant. We have one, at the end of the day, everybody luleni. There were questions to be answered.
Yep.
You know, and so when we sort ourselves out, these little things, you know, that turn our leaders into megalomaniacs, we need to put them in check.
Indeed. 7:45, quick apology, right? We had a downtime in the studio here, so we weren't able to stream. Please bear with us. That's for those who are looking to joining us virtually on Facebook and on YouTube, okay?
So they won't see this new thing that I launched. I just launched this new thing now.
Oh, we're back on now, though.
Are we back?
Yes, we're back on now.
Oh, my gosh, if you caught me on that. I was just joking. I didn't launch anything.
We are back on so they can see.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I must learn to keep my mouth shut.
Let's take this Lagos story. Daily Trust has it. Sanwo-Olu promises greater Lagos, unveils campaign slogan.
Yes, I think yesterday was the day that he flagged off his campaign. By again locking down some part of the, this is a new thing now, and we need to plead with our politicians to please take cognizance of the difficulties that we face moving around on a normal day. When you now lock down, you know, the after effect, you put citizens through so much inconvenience. I think that now that all the launches have gone through, let us all agree now that enough of this 1 million naira march, 1 million man march, and this and that, and stop the lockdown. Ordinarily, citizens are going through hell moving around the state. But it's glad, because for once, I just said to myself, wait a minute, Sanwo-Olu has not even launched his campaign proper, okay? But I don't think neither have his, I don't think any of his opponents have actually launched their campaign. And so yesterday, he promised that we are going to have a greater Lagos. I would appeal to him, we don't need a greater Lagos, we need a functional Lagos first. Because Lagos don't dabaru. It's Lagos is in a complete mess. So let's get the rhetoric right. We need to go back to the basics. We need to get Lagos working. That is what should be the mantra. Get Lagos working, not a greater Lagos. How can you be greater when the foundation is weak? So if I were the opponents, I pick on that. Get Lagos working. That's what we need. Nothing is working. Nothing. And the cost of living has hit the roof completely. You can't move around. I mean, those of us in Suleri, I think we need to march to Gbaja and tell him to come and save us. We've become endangered species. We are on complete lockdown. To get to Lagos is a problem. You can't go through Igbo. You can't go through Odualegba. To go through Kalakuta itself is a problem. We are completely surrounded. And then last week, the APC now had this rally that grounded everywhere. Some of their members even parked right in the middle of the streets. It's not done in any civilized, any normal environment that you lock down just because somebody wants to campaign. We plead with the politicians to please take it easy on us, okay? And as I said the other day, and I stand by what I said, I don't think there's going to be much of an election in Lagos, unfortunately. I don't think there's going to be much. I think this gentleman, so now that he is going to likely to have his second term, I think he should now say the issue of whether he get the second term, that it was claimed by some of his supporters, was stopping him from taking certain actions. Now that he's gotten it, we hope we will look forward to a functional Lagos. Not a greater Lagos. The first 4 years of this government has been woeful. It's been full of construction. It's been full of everything, has made life difficult. Desmond Elliott argued with me in the studio one day about 2 years ago that, you need development. But hey, development can be planned. The 4 years of this government has been of construction, left, right, and center. But it's brought difficulties. People have had to move home. I'm one of them. That extra cost is killing me. It's same with a lot of people. Some people not sleep in their cars because they know they can't get into the island or move in other areas. The environment, the same thing. There seems to be a breakdown of government. We hope that, the mantra of the government would be making Lagos work, getting Lagos to work and to be functional. I wish all of them happy campaign. Please, I again plead, take cognizance of you know the difficulties that people have with living, noise levels and so on and so forth. We can do these things without inconveniencing other people. And to his opponents, especially to my to my Aburo. Jando, is it Amuse who said that I get a paycheck from Alausa, I'm expecting this. You remember that one?
Oh yes, of course. Mm. Yeah, someone even called.
I could have made some money off him there. I could have sued him.
Yeah.
Someone did what?
Someone called the show. I think it was yesterday. And said, "We know the party you belong." Was telling me that I belong to the APC. I said,
"So you collect your check too?" I don't mean it.
As in, yeah. So I just told him that it's normal. It's okay.
You know, the truth is at this time most politicians are very, very sensitive.
Right.
They don't know that some people would. There's no friend, no foe in this job. Mm. If there's something to be done, it will be done. If there's something to be said, it will be said. But from what I can see, nothing is going to change, which in itself is very unfortunate.
Mm.
We need to give the ruling party a run for their money. Not so much to kick them out. That is a decision that will be taken. But at least to put them on their toes and not take us for granted like we have now.
Mm.
Well, let's see how it goes. That we jolly well might come up with some surprises.
Yeah. Another interesting one here on page 30. This story reads, "Pupils to be taught in mother tongue, FG."
I had that this morning when the head of news was reading the story.
Right.
Okay. And what it says is that the Federal Executive Council said yesterday that all kids are going to be taught in their mother tongue. Now, it says mother tongue.
Mandatorily.
Mm. Okay, so a child who is in Ondo would be taught in Ondo dialect. The child from Ijebu would be taught in Ijebu dialect. In a place like Edo State, you have all kinds of different tones.
Right.
Fair enough. In principle, it sounds fine. But where this has worked better, to the best of my mind, is where they have the language as the official language to work in.
Uniformity.
Yeah. Because we need to take a second look at this to see how we can tweak it. Do we say regional language? Because when you say mother tongue, I think I saw somewhere that mother tongue is this language spoken.
I was going to say that.
Okay, so we need to tweak it a bit to say that, can we take a second look at it and see if we can make a language in that, at minimum in that zone, that will make that child functional later? Because where you have your official language being English, that the child will have to operate in when he grows and so on and so forth, how do you balance the two? I don't like the idea now. I'm not too hot on the idea of teaching in English, but the truth is that's the official language of the country.
Right. That's the truth. Yes, that's a fact.
So what do you think?
I personally have been one of the strongest supporters of teaching in local languages.
Yes.
Mother tongue, so to speak.
Mm.
But in this instance, I also identify with the concern of, because we move around, Nigerians move around. Nigerians live in different parts of the country. We do all kinds of things by moving around as well, by settling down in wherever we move to and then live there. But I think that is the way to go, because when we move to a place, we kind of like just find a way, even if the parents can't speak the language of that new place, the children, they would know how to. I have friends who are Yorubas, but they've lived in the north and they speak Hausa very, very fluently.
Yeah, but that's so outside much as school something. But the question is this. I like what you said. The question I want to ask you is, at what point do you start teaching in the national language?
So I was going to get there. So despite the fact that we speak our local languages, you'd find out that in today's world, in today's Nigeria, even children at home, they don't speak their mother tongue. They grow up speaking English.
Yeah, because their parents, everybody now, the in thing, even amongst whatever, is even parents who can't speak English well themselves want their children to speak English.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is that English speaking for the kids ultimately will not be a problem. Because naturally...
You're looking at it from... a cosmopolitan
a child that is born in Shaki
that has from primary one to primary whatever is in Shaki and has been taught in Yoruba till his final year in primary
even
school.
Till now say that how
what is it Yoruba he used to learn when he goes to federal government college
I've thought about that because I know that there are rural areas, especially there are villages interior in some states that they don't even know, even currently in their school, you still have to put in local language.
A bit of a mix.
Yeah, to be able to get them to where they are supposed to. So this is my point, right? We should not, because we should weigh the pros and cons, right? Because I think that the end point should be how we want people, our children, to learn human capital. There are countries, Uncle JD, in the world that they don't speak English. I mean,
they have a national language.
Yes, they do.
But we don't have our national language. It's English.
And when their leaders get to public international events or anything, you still find them not speaking English.
Yeah, fair enough. But the problem is, our own national language is English. She is the person you started with. That's how he's going to write common entrance to go to federal government college, Enugu.
So they have said that they're going to start teaching. They're going to start teaching them in English by JSS1.
That's too late. I'm at a bon. Somebody who started private school.
When I saw this message, sorry, sir, let me just conclude. When I saw this thing yesterday, I thought through all of these angles. And what I concluded is this, right? If we're starting them with mother tongue, their brain, it would develop faster. The level of comprehension would be very fast. I mean, because we started them off from their comfort zone. So the brain is enhanced very quickly.
If we
start teaching them any other thing afterwards,
at what point
they will grasp it.
See, it's an emotional thing. The practicality of it is that at what point do you move them to the national language? Are they going to work in federal secretariat in Yoruba?
They said JSS1.
So they're going to speak English. So the person that you taught ABTBTB, Ogunyokulobe,
All of them are going to be taught that way.
Is that, in what language is he going to write common entrance to now switch to English?
Before he gets to, okay, you mean at primary six, Abby?
Yes, now.
Because they're going to write the entrance exam at six.
Now, primary six has to do common entrance.
Maybe they've sorted that out, that maybe they're going to have to set primary six exams.
In what language?
In their local languages.
But the dialects are different.
They're going to have to sort it out.
If Oyo State, for example, Oyo State cannot set papers in just Yoruba, you know, because the dialect in Oyo is different from the dialect you have in, let me look for one that is so remote, like Ijesha. Ijesha people speak their own version. I'm not about Ijesha. Ijesha people speak their own version. I'm not about